Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Everly Well at-home lab tests give you physician-reviewed results and personalized insights so you can take action on your health and wellness, all at an affordable and transparent cost.
I took the food sensitivity test, and it's something I've been wanting to do, but I'm just too lazy to go in and have it done. Mm-hmm. So I did it, and it was so interesting to find out what I'm sensitive to, and so easy.
Well, I took the women's health test. It's a hormone panel, and it identifies what hormones are out of balance, and then I shared the results with my doctor, and now I am on my way to being completely balanced.
Nice.
Yeah.
And for listeners of the show, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/OC.
That's everlywell.com/OC for 20% off your at-home lab test. everlywell.com/OC.
Welcome to the OC, bitches.
Welcome to the OC, bitches. Am I shouting?
Maybe you do shout a little.
So I've noticed that, I think maybe it's because I have the headphones on, but I'm a shouter. Anyway, welcome to the OC, bitches. I'll try and talk down here. Is this better?
Yes. It's season 2, episode 13 today, entitled The Father Knows Best, aka The Test.
I found in my research, I know I say that a lot, but I found that there was a few places that called it The Test. And
really?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Because, I mean, there is The Test.
Oh, right. There is a test.
There is a test.
There's a lot of talks of a test in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you and me today.
It is you and I.
Yes.
Which is always a blast. Let us, when we hash out these scenes and that I'm seeing for the first time.
It just means I have more talking time. So get ready.
More shouting time.
Yeah.
Okay. Synopsis, Mindy?
Sure. So when Caleb announces he is going to adopt Lindsay, Julie has strong feelings against it. Really? She raises doubts, asking if he ever took a paternity test. Did Zach and Summer have sex in San Diego? Seth is strung out thinking about it and crosses boundaries to find out. Kirsten pays Rebecca a visit while Sandy takes her case back on. Marissa tells Summer about their new relationship. Oh, this is the making of a TV show.
This is a TV show.
Right?
What do you know about her new relationship?
This is directed by our wonderful Michael Lang, written by John Stevens. Original air date, February 17th, 2005. And
so
it had 7.8 million viewers.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Not too bad. The viewership has been kind of going up and down in season 2.
Really?
Yeah. We peaked at about 12.8, mm-hmm. I think. And it's gone down to like the 6 million for a couple of them, like Snow Sea. And then it's gone back up at this point.
Really?
Or it was, yeah. It's kind of ebbing and flowing.
And interesting. I'll be curious to know what next week's is.
Yeah, I haven't looked that one up.
The episode opens in the Cohen kitchen.
It's a classic opener, I think.
Classic.
Yeah.
Seth is hilarious. He looks he's a disaster.
Right.
But it always makes me laugh. Seeing.
But Ryan enters and reveals, he turns on the TV first thing in the morning. I'm assuming he's turning on the news, but he reveals a creature under a blanket which is Seth.
Right.
Who's been apparently, please don't tell me you've been watching movies all night. Do you ever do that? I've done that.
My mom does that.
My mom's up till like 1 or 2 in the morning sometimes.
Yeah. My mom just watches, she has Turner Classic Movies on and just, that's all she does.
Because I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could do that.
No, you can't.
No,
not when
I can't.
You have a kid like that.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, first of all, yes, he's hilarious. And at this point, I wasn't sure how many days it's been since San Diego. I think we find out later. It's been like 5 days.
Right.
But I love how Zach is so committed when he says, I'm not wallowing, I'm agonizing. There's a distinct difference.
Seth?
Seth. What did I say, Zach?
You said Zach.
See, this is going to happen. Sorry.
We keep interchanging.
I'm glad
Zach
you're here.
And Seth.
But he almost defends it, right?
Right.
He says, like, no, no. He knows. He's like, you know, wallowing is just VH1 and agonizing takes discipline and commitment. And it's like MTV2.
Yeah, there's a lot of dated references in this episode. VH1, does VH1 even still exist? I don't think so.
I
bet Diana will chime in.
I don't know. Oh, we're Googling it right now. Diana's look at how fast that works.
I guess it does. Maybe it's just like an online thing. Maybe there's a network. I love Nick Carter. There you have it. Alive and thriving. Okay.
Yeah,
so, Love and Hip Hop Miami. Okay, all right.
You know,
I stand corrected.
It's impossible to keep up with all of the services nowadays.
It is. I don't even know. But everything exists. Sure. MTV2, though? I don't know about that.
That was just, you know, they had to spin that
find
off
out.
For the people that wanted to watch just videos. Ah. But I don't think that exists anymore.
MTV2, there's a little, you know, little scroll down thing right there.
It's
that
a lot
blue,
of TV
Reno
shows.
Reno 911.
Reno 911
on MTV2. Okay. MTV2 literally thriving. Love it. Learning so much today.
You.
Seth, really? Okay. Nice references, Seth. I stand corrected. You know, what always is so weird, like Ryan offers Seth coffee. Coffee was not like, they're so adult with their coffee drinking in high school on this show.
CG's generation started drinking
coffee?
A lot of coffee. Yeah, because they would walk right by Starbucks, the one
Notre
Dame.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
They definitely,
but they were all
sweet. They were definitely all those sweet drinks.
But of course.
But at the time, just regular coffee is...
No, but like Ryan literally is making coffee, offers Seth like regular coffee. Like they're like grandpas with their coffee in the morning.
There's the coffee lounge in the school.
I know.
Well, and I guess that's, we were saying like in back in the 70s and 80s, there were like smoking rooms in high school.
That is so crazy to me. That's like when you see the dog relief room at the airport. Like it used to be smoking rooms and now it's for dog relief.
Okay, you're funny.
All right.
But now what are they talking about here? Seth is clearly like, I've chosen to be agonizing. Like he wants to be in this state. And then he's talking about, because he's agonizing over the fact that Zach and Summer, see, I said it right.
You did. And I almost corrected you saying no, Seth and Summer.
So that did they have sex? And that that he has to find out, he's going to ask Summer. And Ryan's so right. He's like, no, weird, creepy, crossing boundaries.
Yeah. Uh-uh. He's right.
Yeah.
He's like, and then Seth's like, okay.
Fine.
I'll ask Zach. Yeah. And he marches off.
So now we go to the Cohen bedroom. And the last time we saw them, Kirsten had shut the door.
Yeah.
And
in his face. And Sandy deserved it.
Right.
I'm still mad about that.
I guess there is no forgiveness for...
We don't see the aftermath and...
It's been a number of days. So they're being cordial at least.
Right.
But as she walks in and he says, so I guess there's no, forgive and forget yet. But then she references her son acting kind of loopy, I guess.
And, like, right.
All I got from him was a synopsis of a movie called Hellboy.
Right.
And Sandy's saying... Well, that sounds like lady drama.
Yeah. Also, Hellboy is referenced quite a bit in this episode. And if my memory serves me correctly, Brody loved that movie.
Yeah. I have not seen that movie.
I haven't either.
But I'm
I did.
I'm very aware of it, that Ron Perlman played, was the lead. And he was in Adam's show Startup.
Right.
And it was directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Hellboy was.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I'm sure Josh likes it too.
Well, it's a comic book and I haven't seen the whole thing. I've only seen parts of it, I think. But it was a franchise and it has quite a few films actually. But it was the DP, here's a little Mindy connection. Yeah. The DP was Guillermo Navarro, who was the DP on a movie I did called Spawn.
No way!
Which was another, you know, Hellspawn comic book that I did. That was kind of a popular thing.
It was. You have an action figure from it.
I do have an action figure.
Can you bring it in? I want to see it.
Oh, I'll bring it shoots water. Beep, beep. Or any liquid you want.
Oh, what? All right, maybe. All right.
Anyway, so they are talking about this. They get into the discussion about, Kirsten is being so calm and she says, I'll come with you to whatever the service is for Max. And Sandy says, oh no, it's not an official service. it's just the two of us. And he says, I know that sounds weird. And Kirsten's like, yeah, you have no idea how weird that sounds, right? It's beyond weird, Sandy.
What she has to put up with from this whole storyline with Rebecca and Sandy is mind-blowing to me. And now it's like she offers for support, you know, because he was really close to Max and Max passes away, Rebecca's dad. And he's like, no, like that's weird because it's just going to be Rebecca and I.
And also she was leaving and they had that kiss goodbye. Like mm-hmm. I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. Like it really was a cross. It was
Rebecca
cross,
and Sandy.
Yeah. The cross, it was crossing the line,
right.
But it was like, I'm never going to see you again kiss, I think. And now, and he says at the very end, he says, but you should stay.
Right.
But with the idea that he was going to get her another lawyer, but I guess with Max dying, it's changed everything because he owes it to Max.
Yeah, it's very infuriating.
It makes me go grr.
So then we find out Caleb calls Kirsten and Lindsay to his office. And why does he do that?
Well, so we're at the Newport Group.
Right.
And this is what's interesting about this to me. And I love this episode because I remember really getting into...
You're so fun in this episode.
Julie's like, this was... She's back to...
Julie.
The niceties are gone. Mm-mm. She's back to full-on desperate housewife.
Master manipulator. Like, it's very impressive.
Yeah. With no compromising, not apologetic for it. But you see, we've never seen Julie and Caleb arguing.
Right.
And... But then I started thinking, I was like, you know, Julie's niceties, you know, she's like, she's trying to hook the guy
mm-hmm.
and all those like sweetness, all that sweetness. And now the honeymoon is over.
Mm-hmm.
They're arguing, but I'm thinking, or I'm deciding, we have to do that as actors. Like what's going on behind the scenes that you don't get to see, that they're arguing, that this is their dynamic.
Right.
And you're getting a glimpse of it now. And she's not, I mean, she's certainly not ingratiating herself to Caleb. Like,
right.
She's not even trying to sugarcoat things.
Mm-hmm.
So, So Lindsay.
Right. So it opens and you see Julie and Caleb arguing, and Lindsay and Kirsten have been invited to the office because Caleb is announcing that he wants to adopt Lindsay, officially adopt Lindsay.
Oh my gosh. And she instantly is like, and even Kirsten is like, I thought she delivered it kind of sweet, but I think behind it, it was like, what? And not telling anybody.
And Julie, you are so fucking funny in this scene.
I know it's quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had to bring up something because I was really curious about this. I'm sure we did this just for the show itself.
What?
But if you're a biological parent, you don't actually adopt a child.
Oh.
So I looked this up.
Yeah.
Basically, all he needs to do is do a voluntary declaration of paternity. And he needs Renee's permission. So even if for some reason later on, that's basically saying that I have full responsibility of this child
right.
monetarily. And if for some reason later on, a DNA test said that she wasn't the child, you'd still have to reverse it legally. So it's basically just taking on the legal responsibility of the child. So the word adopt,
yeah.
I think it was just to service the script because I don't think technically he needs to. Anyway.
Okay. Well, also she's almost 18.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, you know, I wasn't quite sure that, you know, Renee needed to be involved in this. Like
right.
He needs her signature to do all this.
But right.
Anyway. Okay. But yeah, they're excited about it. And Julie is like, uh-huh, welcome to the family. Oh, and she's like, I would take care of her. She sees Kirsten.
Yeah, Kirsten's look.
She's like, I saw that Kirsten.
Yeah. It's very funny. You really cracked me up in this one.
Fun.
LA weather has been weird. It feels like summer one day and then the next, there's hail in my backyard. Literally, it looked like it snowed. My entire lawn was covered. But you know what? No matter what the weather, freshly shaven, super smooth skin feels great.
That is so true. For those short shorts or for slipping into cozy sweats, we use Billy, the best razor for women at half the price you'd expect. No pink tax, No visit to the drugstore, no irritation, no matter what.
The razors have a charcoal shave soap, so it's super moisturizing on my legs instead of leaving them feeling dry like other razors have in the past.
Billy's crazy affordable starter kit comes with their award-winning razor, two precision five-blade refill cartridges, and a cult favorite magnetic holder.
Billy is on Nylon's beauty hit list, and Allure called them the smoothest shave ever.
You know, I actually, living in California, go to the beach almost every week, all year round.
Well, you live at the beach.
That too. And my Billy is my buddy for that bikini line. There is no razor burn, no rash, ever.
You know, and we were just talking about waxing and how much it frigging hurts. Billy has come to the rescue. I swear to God, it's the saving grace. I don't have to wax anymore. It is heaven.
Don't suffer another second pain of pink tax for a bad shave. Go to mybilly.com/OC to get the best razor you will ever own while supporting this show.
Billy is half the price of other razors, plus free shipping always. Just go to mybilly.com/OC.
Spelled mybillie.com/OC. That's mybilly.com/OC.
AG1 by Athletic Greens, the category-leading superfood product, brings comprehensive and convenient daily nutrition to everybody. Keeping up with the research, knowing what to do, and taking a bunch of pills and capsules is hard on the stomach and hard to keep up with. To help each of us be at our best, they simplify the path to better nutrition by giving you the one thing with all the best things.
Everyone knows AG1 has become an everyday ritual for me. I simply add it to water with my electrolytes, and I am hydrated. I am ready to start the day.
Yeah, I just love how convenient this is because I am not the best at taking things and supplements and pills, and I hate swallowing them. And anyway, this has been just so awesome, and I get everything I need in one scoop. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while keeping it tasting good. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting, free, one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/theoc today.
Now, while the weather is still cold, it is a great time to take advantage of this deal and incorporate vitamin D into your daily routine. Most people are deficient, and more studies are surfacing around its direct impact on supporting the immune system.
Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/theoc to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. Then we're at the school lounge at Harbor, and No Sleep by Sam Roberts plays. Very appropriate. A sleep-deprived Seth sits with Zach and tries to clear the air.
Yeah.
But Zach has let it all go, what happened in San Diego. And Seth is trying to get it out of Zach if he had sex with Summer.
Yes. Seth's hair.
Very inappropriate, by the way. Oh, no.
It's amazing.
What he does?
Well, just the amount of hair. Because don't you think that the hairstyle of the boys, or at least Seth in general, is kind of messy anyway. So they had to make it extra messy.
Oh, no, it's like his hair is permanently like he's stuck something in a socket.
It's kind of like this flock of seagulls wave.
It's very large and very high.
But I thought it was this, it made me laugh so hard because first thing he said, so I guess the comic book is dead here. Is that the point?
I think so.
So it's like, well, oh, it wasn't a good idea. So they're not pursuing it anymore at this point, I guess. And Zach is so cool. He's, you know, he's literally the most mature one. And he was like, yeah, no, it's okay. You know, and Seth says, how was the weekend? And you did this and you did that. And did you probably have sex? What? No,
Yeah.
And then he gives him like this death stare.
Yeah.
You're willing it out of him.
Right. He's very funny in this whole scene. But he's also so inappropriate.
It's so funny, yeah. You always try to put yourself on the inside of what Seth is thinking and what his thought process is. And he's just, he thrives on this. He thrives on being in a telenovela all the time.
Just obsessing. He's very obsessive.
Well, and I thought about that. Think about this. Ponder this. Do you ever obsess over people that have rejected them or they can't?
Of course.
We don't obsess about the people that love us. It's unconditional because we're not worried about that.
Right.
We're just obsessed over, have you ever had that unrequited love?
I've definitely had the like push and the pull thing where you want someone more when they don't want you.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of a back and forth. How about you?
I guess not like this.
No. No one's had anything like this.
But yeah, no, I definitely, when I was younger, I definitely remember having that, like, why not getting what you want.
Yeah, like in high school, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think like a friend and I fought over this one guy in high school. It was torture.
Really?
Yeah.
There's nothing like a guy, coming between two girls.
It's right. Like, well, he was like the lead in all the plays and like, you know, he was that because we were all in the drama scene in high school.
Was drama cool in your school?
It was.
And it wasn't in my...
Yeah. I feel like goes that way. It's either like super cool or super nerdy.
Yeah.
We definitely were cool.
Yeah. No, see, that theater department.
It was a cool theater department. Yeah. Well, you know, Kirsten Dunst and Rami Malek and, you know, all of us were in it together. Kirsten was already working, so she wasn't there much. But Rami and I did plays together.
Who was the guy? Was it Rami?
No, it wasn't Rami. Okay. He was older, actually, because my friends in high school were a couple years older than me. Actually, it was my friend who was on the episode where she walks out of Alex's apartment. And I was like, that's my friend from high school.
Oh, that's the one Veronique, you liked?
Yeah, and Veronique and I fought over this one guy in high school. But he was in her grade, so he was 2 years older. And yeah, the lead in all the plays and stuff. And like, decided it was the coolest thing. And
were you guys, you and Veronique, were on the outs for a little bit because of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, and then, you know what's something interesting that girls will do? You guys could be friends and a girl likes a guy.
Yeah.
But then she finds out, you're not doing anything, but finds out that he likes you. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, she doesn't like you. And right. It's like, what? I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
That happened to me.
I'm sure a lot.
No. Just maybe once.
I'm just saying, I'm sure all the guys like you, Mindy.
Oh, I know about that. You see, I always get blushy. Anyway. We digress.
Seth was hilarious. A guy sits next to him. Seth scares him off because he looks like the underlord.
And he smells. I mean, the kid's like, I think he's more like, what's going on? I smell something. But I mean, that must have been, we should get a hold of that, our background, see how that moment was for him.
Did they actually make him stink? That would be awesome.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
He's like, Adam is total method.
Okay, then we're on the pier with Sandy and Rebecca. And he tells her he's going to help her with her case. But what happened the other night can't happen again, which was their kiss.
We assume that that's what it was.
Of course, like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
What else would it be?
He's here, you know, that goodbye kiss and it crossed the line. But it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And they have Max's ashes that they're going to scatter.
On the pier there. It's the pier there where they do quite a bit of our show on the Redondo Pier.
That's where it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know if they used like a stock footage shot of the Newport. Is there a pier in Newport?
We did that for a photo shoot once, if you remember that.
But there is a pier in Newport.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're thinking about it. Is there... There's a pier. That's why we probably always are on a pier, because there has to be one in Newport. Otherwise, that would be weird.
But this was, first of all, this was a big blooper. Of course, the ashes blew back.
No,
totally.
Ashes pouring it out. I'm like, there's no chance that your dead father's ashes are not up your nose right now.
So I don't know if you noticed, but the shot of the actual ashes was from below, almost pouring into the camera lens.
Uh-huh.
Because the shots, they couldn't use them because they were blowing back into her face and she was doing that. But it's illegal to do what they're doing. So my thought, you can't just pour ashes off. You have to be 3 miles out into the ocean.
Could you imagine though? Like if people just did that, like lots of people were just throwing dead people's ashes off the pier.
Carrie did it.
And everyone's like, ah!
Like, ew.
The seagulls are like, ah!
Carrie just did it with Big's ashes. If you haven't seen, Sex and the...
What? I'm just kidding. Wait, she does... Off a pier?
She does it off the bridge in Paris, and that's illegal too. But I think we just take dramatic license in television.
It's cinematic.
Yeah. But also, they couldn't just get a permit for this too. So no matter what, they're just doing it illegally. So I think they know what they're doing illegally.
Well, they're not real ashes of a dead person. But I guess you can't throw anything off of a pier.
Sandy and Kirsten, or sorry.
Oh.
Kirsten, sorry.
Rebecca.
Sandy and Rebecca are doing everything under the table, or just everything. Why aren't the feds there? Just so many questions. The Fed, he keeps saying that if we had a service, the feds would show up. If we did, you know, if we sound off any alarms. Yeah. People might show up.
Right.
And that's why.
But you know what would have been awesome? Is if Kirsten actually went with Sandy and it was just the three of them and Rebecca throws the ashes off and they just fly right into Kirsten's face.
I just really stomp on her self-esteem.
I mean, you know, I'm in the comedy version of this episode.
But now it's school.
Now it's school.
Lindsay is so happy. Excited.
I always think it's so weird how she's always so willingly like referring to him as my dad. Like, do you know how long it actually takes in real life for you to, someone you've never known, 17 years, always been certain, and all of a sudden, especially Caleb, they're right. Your dad? And it's weird.
It feels a little, you know, I'll say this a few times this podcast, that she comes off very, you know, super intelligent and somewhat, you know, mature. But she's become almost like an 8-year-old mm-hmm. in this, like, oh my gosh, I have a dad. Yeah. And how somebody develops feelings that deep that she's expressing right now seems a little bit questionable. Because, you know, but she's never had a dad. So it's different, like, say, for instance, somebody has a stepdad. Developing feelings for a stepdad as opposed to a bio dad is... It's challenging for kids.
For sure. It was challenging, I'm sure, for Stevie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But they're like,
it's definitely a biological thing that you bond with your parents.
Right.
And when you're a child.
Yeah.
And then asking somebody, you know. But yeah, they get along great.
Now at the Cohen house.
In that scene, Ryan, when she says, oh, great, great, great. But Ryan instantly sees the problem. He doesn't know anything about it. And he instantly says, was Julie Cooper there? You don't want her you don't want her as an enemy.
Yeah.
And the two people that say you should be very wary about this or don't, like, Julie doesn't want it. Ryan doesn't want it, even though, but he literally, you know, and she's like, well, what does it matter? I don't care, give a shit about Julie.
Right.
And Ryan's like, you didn't listen to me about Caleb. Yeah. You didn't listen to me about Julie.
He's like, believe me.
this little fantasy world that you're living in is going to get shattered with her involved.
Right. He's right.
So.
Okay, now we're at the Cohen house and Kirsten opens the door to the FBI, which Agent Stone Rock. So the Agent Stone Rock in this scene is after my best friend growing up, Jill Stone Rock, who Josh Schwartz wound up marrying.
Yeah.
That's why the name's in the episode.
I do have to say, it's the perfect FBI spinoff, that name, like Stone Rock and Tudor, now on Fox.
Right. Well, hey, you heard it here first.
It's a great name.
It is. It is. It's a redundant name, but it's a good one.
maybe that's why. Just wanted to hear it over and over. Hey, that's actually cool. Like, where did that come from? It's not just one rock, it's two.
Yeah, Stone Rock. And the irony, Jill's dad is in Tile.
Oh gosh.
It's Stone Rock Tile. That's right, Wally. Her parents are my second parents. I've known them since I was 15 years old. And our moms are best friends. And yeah, it's very cute.
Very good.
Yep. Stone Rock Tile. There's your shout out, Wally. The bait shop, Alex is having a party and wants to invite Marissa, tells Marissa to invite Summer. So those wheels are turning.
Of course, the last time we saw Alex and Marissa, they had a kiss. So what are they gonna be like? And there's this very sweet dynamic. It's a little, you could see they're not like, they're just slightly closer, you know. How is this going to develop after that, after Fox cut the kiss down to kind of a quick little thing? Yes. But back in the Cohen kitchen, Sandy is home. Kirsten is drinking a goblet of wine by herself, almost in the dark. Sandy walks up, grabs a card and says, Jill Stone Rock of the FBI.
Yep. Shout outs. Oh, early dating.
And wow, what did you tell them? And Kirsten's like, are you worried about me withholding information or telling them too much? And he's like, look, I'm protected, but you withholding is dangerous. Like, he's sticking to the legal terms of, you know, what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And Kirsten's like, oh, fuck that. Come on.
Yeah.
You're not here. He's like, if it's a question of protecting you or Rebecca, it's you. There's no question. And she's like, I beg to differ. I think you have made a choice and it's not me.
Right. Right.
Buddy.
Yeah.
She, of course.
I'm with Kirsten wholeheartedly this whole time, by the way.
I'm feeling, I was like, I feel confused and sad here. Yeah. Because he did say to her, I'll get a different attorney. And just because Max died, why should that change?
It shouldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. these are personal choices. It's not like he has a gun to his head. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does CBD work? Over 90% of doctors said their patients have used CBD to treat a health condition. Listen, when 9 out of 10 patients use CBD, that speaks volumes about how safe and effective CBD can be.
Let me tell you about CBDistillery.com. With over 2 million customers, CB Distillery is the source I trust.
When patients tell their doctors that they use CBD for help with their health conditions, what are some of those conditions? Well, if sleep is a problem, 90% of CB Distillery customers said they sleep better with CBD. If nagging discomfort is a problem, 80% of customers said CBD helps with discomfort after physical activity. And if you're looking for a little peace and calm these days, you'd be wise to explore CBD. I use it for everything. I mean, I give my dog drops. It mellows her out. And let me tell you, she needs a lot of mellowing. Also in my bath.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Any kind of CBD.
Well, if you haven't discovered the power of CBD, you're missing out. Go to CBDistillery.com where you order online with no prescription required and enter the OC for 20% off. Again, enter the OC for 20% off at CBDistillery.com. That's CBDistillery.com. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
I'm not the best at making my regular dental appointments. It's a problem. But lucky for me, Lumino has helped and makes me feel like not that guilty when I don't make it as often as I should. Right. Well, here's something I didn't know. 98% of oral bacteria are good for you. They're actually essential for your oral health. Turns out the fact that all bacteria are bad is just a myth. And Lumino is busting it wide open.
Things just get also a little tougher as we get older. Well, I shouldn't even say that. More mature. And, I mean, you know, it's harder to even get whiter teeth. And, you know, I've had the trays. They're uncomfortable. It's irritating. And it's expensive to go to the dentist for those treatments. But you know what? Lumino feels gentle, refreshing, and I actually get results.
Lumino makes toothpaste, mouthwash, and whitening that are a totally new and different approach for improving your oral health. They use purposeful and uncompromising ingredients like sea salt, aloe, and coconut oils to clean and brighten your smile. Plus, everything they make is certified non-toxic.
You won't find harsh chemicals or bleaches in any of Lumino's products. Everything is dentist formulated, backed by over 50 studies, and proven to protect the good bacteria, also known as the microbiome.
Find Lumino on Amazon.com and get $7 off today. That's Lumineux. Remember, it's spelled with an X, so you can X out the harm. Lumino, dedicated to illuminating better ideas in oral care. All right, Caleb's office. Julie now, in Julie's, you know, greatest of forms, is...
In her leopard. Wow.
She comes in. I think it's tiger. Isn't it tiger print?
She's in a full-on tiger print.
Oh, like, yeah. It's so appropriate for what's going on.
I remember, actually, at some point, because Julie dresses a way that is just so loud, whether you know, mm-hmm. it's just so appropriate. I really got into trying on clothes for the sake of the character.
Yeah.
And I would spend hours doing it. So I wouldn't have to do it every episode.
Yeah.
But, and it's like, she's got this tiger and the jade, and it was almost like she's dressing like a theme.
You're a tigress because your claws are out, like we said. Like, it's so appropriate. It's awesome.
And it totally lent itself to the character itself. But but you know, Julie's been sitting there seething. She's like, and her head's going,
yeah.
Like, what could it be? Paternity test.
Yeah.
I'm going to make him redo it because, of course, he did it knowing Caleb.
Right. But I don't know that you know he did it. I think
that's what she's assuming.
Well, or not. And you're just using that to open up the conversation.
Right. Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's how Julie's mind would work, I feel like. That's how you would present it. Like, well, you'll just take another paternity test.
Right.
What paternity test?
Right. To find out. Instead of just saying, did you take a paternity test? She's like,
you can just take another one.
How you do it, too.
Summer or me?
You, Rachel.
Yeah, for sure. I don't confront people. Are you kidding? I work my way around that shit.
But it was amazing. So she says this and she's not finessing these things anymore. She's not going, come on, Caleb.
Yeah.
She's flat out saying, look, you need to do this.
Uh-huh.
And it's like Sandy ends up saying the same thing, but Julie's just raw. You know, she's out. She's
no,
kind of in
good,
her
though.
Villainous
you're good.
Clause.
How you put this out there, you know what you're doing.
But his eyes say, you know, you're so transparent. And she doesn't care. Your intentions are transparent. And she's like, wait. You haven't taken a paternity test? Look, she's probably your kid, but you need to do this.
Right.
And you see in his eyes like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do this. He's kind of easy to manipulate.
For
or at least,
sure. Yeah. It's weird for like such a successful businessman, his own company, he's grown. He's like very gullible.
Especially if it's the truth though.
Yeah.
She's speaking the truth.
Right.
But we're definitely starting to see some... although I do think it's questionable. Julie said in the last episode that she's like, we have to play our cards right, which I feel like she came on really strong and she is being transparent with how much she dislikes this idea about money. And it's like, do you want to be in the will, Julie?
Mm-hmm. Then Summer's bedroom, Marissa loses the nerve to tell Summer about Alex. And so she invites her to a party, but not Alex's party. Caleb at Caleb's house, which is the party of the adoption.
I like the scenes with Summer and Marissa. We haven't had
two best friends together in a while. So it's nice to see them here. My outfit I'm putting on is questionable. I have like a blue top with these khaki kind of cargo pants rolled up with brown heeled, probably suede boots.
Well, once again, it's like, first of all, you're such a tiny little pixie person. And they're like little chinos that are low on your hips with the blue. I like the blue top.
Yeah, but it's very odd, these boots under these khakis, but it speaks to the time.
It does.
I think. We'll just say that.
Well,
so she gets a call from Zach, finds out that Seth asked Zach if they had sex. She's pissed, so she's going to go confront Cohen.
She's bailing on lunch with Marissa. But I do like the way Marissa is presented here because, you know, Alex has asked her to invite Summer and there was something really sweet, genuine, and vulnerable, which is my word to describe Marissa in this episode, and which is so endearing, of her instantly saying she wants to do it and then she chickens out.
Right.
Because she just doesn't know. It's all so new.
Right.
And I buy it. Mm-hmm. I buy that somebody would be that uncomfortable, I guess, or afraid of judgment. I think that's ultimately people are either acting in fear or love.
Yes.
And she's afraid.
She's afraid.
Yeah.
I get it.
All of a sudden, Sandy has his friend from the FBI and he's saying that no matter what, she's going to jail because of this. One of the things that it made me think about is when he says, I know this woman, the FBI guy, you don't know this woman, Sandy. She's done things. And all of a sudden I thought, what if she actually was there? And she's just telling Max, I wasn't really there, to let him have more peace knowing that he's dying.
Ah.
And
that's an interesting point. He does say, but regardless, she unlocked the door. It was her key.
It's that evidence.
But what I found weird was how he got really personal with Sandy, like, don't mess up your family or your wife or what, you know, it was really weird.
I guess the idea is that he's an old friend and he knows Sandy. They must know each other personally. But I was starting to think Sandy doesn't have any friends. Now that Jimmy's gone, she really doesn't have friends. But in this scene, we're supposed to buy that he has a friend and he's saying this.
Well, then we go to Renee's house and Lindsay's house and Julie shows up. This is, seriously, you're just master manipulator, Miss Julie Cooper.
Yes. I mean, it's really, I remember shooting this scene. This is the classic Julie delivery of total manipulation and doing it, you know, for what it is.
Yeah.
And of course she shows up with, just when Renee's cleaning, she's got Windex.
I know, and gloves on.
And, you know, it's, and Julie's got darker red hair and she has red hair. And it's like, but then I started thinking, it was like, Caleb must go for redheads.
Right? Yeah, for
because
sure.
If Haley is supposed to be the spitting image of her mom.
She was strawberry blonde.
She was strawberry blonde. But then she says all these like, you know, total manipulation. You know, he's going to ask for a DNA test. And if, what if that goes wrong? And that would be fraud. I mean, she's just planting all these seeds to totally gaslight or mess with her head.
You are. It's exactly what she's doing.
Right. And I remember this, I brought this, this was a very specific scene that, so Desperate Housewives came on the season after us, uh-huh. I think, and it blew up mm-hmm. and it became our competition. Mm-hmm. And after this scene aired, somebody reported to me, and I believe it was Josh, said, Gail Berman, the president of Fox, saw that scene and said, we need more of that. Meaning we need more of this kind of Desperate Housewives uh-huh. stuff because the audience is responding to it over there.
Right.
Let's bring more. We've got this vehicle to do it here.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And that's when they started planting the seed of the Jerry Ryan character that's coming
up. I will learn about soon.
Oh. But I also have to point something out. She says, she's like, oh, what a sweet little house or cute little house. Now that was a beautiful craftsman house in Pasadena.
Uh-huh.
At least 2 million.
I'm sure.
Yeah. If not more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to give some props.
Okay. So now Summers shows up to Seth's room to confront him. She beats him.
Was that in the script? I'm sure.
I don't know.
I'm sure.
With the pillow?
Something.
Probably.
But it was pretty intense.
Maybe not as aggressive as it was.
The rage blackouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I beat him with a pillow. He fights me back. That was not in the script where he probably...
Stop.
Where he like throws it back at me. Doesn't he?
Pillows can be, you know, you'd think they don't hurt, but if you hit, use one the right way, they can really damage.
My brother used to beat my ass with a pillow. Are you kidding me?
I remember being at a sleepover when I was like in sixth grade and I hit the brother of my friend over the head and it like jammed his neck and he started crying and I was like, it was a pillow. So yeah, they're dangerous weapons. Let me just warn you.
Never underestimate the deadliness of a pillow.
Cautionary
tale. Actually, I mean, you could suffocate someone. This has gotten real dark.
But she's saying it with like, she's like, oh, wrong, weird, creepy.
Yeah, which it is.
And he admits it.
Yeah, he does. And he's also tearing up his drawings of the comic book.
Yeah. Wait, are you tearing him up? I mean, he says, he's like, yes, I know. And I'm... sorry. Like, and he's like, but do you, and he explains, do you know what I've been going through? And he wants you to know what I've been going through. Mm-hmm. So, and then he says, or you say that you're tearing up the drawings. And I think she's starting to thaw. It's taken until this episode really start mm-hmm. to thaw out.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
What I really like though is at the end of the scene, you know, first she's like, do everyone a favor, take a shower. And she's like, we didn't have sex. You know, she throws that out there before she leaves.
It's the gift. Well, you know what she says first? She's like, that part of my life does not belong to you, which is a great line
mm-hmm.
when she's, and when you think about this, because what's going on in Seth's head? Like, if he gets the information, what's he going to do with it?
Right.
Is he just going to be more miserable?
Mm-hmm.
Is he? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's going to use it like, well, I have to know. And Ryan says, it doesn't matter. And mm-hmm. you're saying, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's not yours to own. Mm-hmm. This is mine. You don't ever have to know. And I think that's something about, it's a comment on the human condition.
Yeah, but also mature for these high schoolers, you know, to be having this kind of conversation.
But then she puts him out of his misery by saying,
she does.
And we didn't have sex.
Oh, shit.
So, of course, then he's like, like... probably inside his head, angels are singing because he sees, he's like, in his heart, he's married to Summer.
Right now, it should have been, hello, sunshine.
Right. They should have put that in there.
See, I should make shows.
That would have been a little too funny.
But yeah. Yeah, I really liked that she threw him a bone.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So to speak.
And Zach didn't throw her a bone.
So here comes the drama.
Yeah.
Here comes the real soap opera.
Would you ever have the balls to do something like this? So Kirsten shows up at Rebecca's hotel room to confront her.
Yeah.
And literally instantly throws it out there. Are you in love with my husband? Husband.
Like, because I'm not getting anywhere with my husband.
Yeah. So.
And she says, direct. And she says, yeah, I am. Always have been, always will.
It's a very direct, open, honest conversation. I don't think ever in my life I could ever do something like that.
Well, and that's so then she says, we've been doing this and you being here is messing with it. And it's Sandy's mind. Maybe it's not messing with it. But for Kirsten, her experience is shit's been hitting the fan and it's not getting better.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
I mean, kind of like props to Kirsten for just, you know, facing it head on and getting answers. Holy shit, though. That's like a...
Yeah, and I it's interesting because I think it's wonderful that Kirsten is remaining so calm. Like, she's not yelling, screaming, punching, fighting.
Right.
She's doing it the way most people should handle things like this.
You know where my mind goes, though? Maybe it just speaks to me being sick in the head or something. But like, hearing that information would make me like want my husband more. Not that she doesn't, but it adds like a fire.
Well, it's been said that, yeah, that women are attracted to men that already are taken or
just
married.
Like, you know, I always like want the guy in the room that all the girls like, you know.
Everyone wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what, who they are, whatever, I've always been drawn to that. Maybe right. That's like a natural thing for women. Yeah. Do you feel that way?
I suppose so. It can happen, I suppose. But then it's like, then the person that I'm with gets more attention.
You're like, I don't like that. See me, I'm like,
she's dating
hermit.
Him. He must have something. I don't know. Sorry, that was the vanity.
No.
That's me going, I love me.
You're you like just,
picking I pick
on
you because you deserve me.
Right. You're just channeling your inner Julie.
Right. I don't know.
Oh, also, I think that the set at the hotel where she's staying, I feel like it's Marissa's old room that they converted.
Well, and last
to Rebecca's
episode,
hotel room.
When we first saw them at the hotel, it was the outside of that hotel. And then I compared it to the inside of the hotel's website. Uh-huh. And it was the correct configuration. But I got the feeling that, yes, they recreated it on
I
stage.
I think so.
Yeah, because they have that same carpet that's in all of your bedrooms.
Oh, it's the carpet and the color of the walls.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so, so this next scene, Renee comes over to talk to Ryan, right? I can't believe what she is putting on this teenager that's her daughter's boyfriend. I was kind of like blown away. So Renee,
apparently they had an argument after Julie left. And so Renee and Lindsay have an argument that we didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't bring up the DNA. She just brought up it not happening. The fact that she didn't support it, which legally she needs Renee's support. But mm-hmm. besides that, Lindsay is instantly in this fantasy world of this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, obviously it's serving the script and bringing Ryan into this because he's that knight in shining armor that's going to help everybody.
He's my boyfriend.
He's Rachel's boyfriend. And so, yeah, I think it's a lot to put on him. But I thought I remembered everything about this show. I did not remember this. I did not remember that she says...
A bomb is about to be dropped.
She can't take the DNA test because I'm not sure.
Yeah, the paternity test is... She's not sure if Caleb is actually the father.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
And now I can't remember... If they ever, okay, I don't, that's good. I can be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, that's a lot to put on Ryan. And so she wants his support to not have Lindsay go through with it.
Right. And he's trying to understand. She says, you know, Caleb. And he's like, yeah, but she really wants this.
Yeah.
And he kind of, but then it's such a hard position to put him in because he's not a good liar.
No.
You know, or he tries.
No,
but
Ryan
he's
lie.
Not a great liar or manipulator.
Right.
He's not on the level of Julie Cooper.
No one is.
I guess not. So now we're in Caleb's office on a Sunday, mm-hmm. I guess, or a Saturday. And Caleb's asked Sandy to ask if he knows anything about getting a DNA test. And of course, Sandy instantly, because they're having the party in a few hours, the adoption party, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he gives him some good advice. He says, as a lawyer, you should absolutely do it. Mm-hmm. But do you love the girl? Right. You've been supporting her financially all this time anyway.
Right.
She just wants a father.
Right.
And I agree with him. I say get the test for sure. But
you personally?
I think she should get the test.
Right.
Don't you?
Or you, Julie?
No, Mindy. Yeah, get the test, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, you know? If it means a lot to her and, you know, he's been paying for all this time and he thinks it's his kid, but he doesn't know for sure. I don't know. It's Caleb though, so I don't know.
Well, I think he brings up a good point in that, ask yourself, do you love the girl?
Yeah.
And that's really important. He's like, because she thinks she's just getting a father. Or right. She thinks she's getting a father and this is, although, wouldn't she want to know? Who knows? So I understand the conundrum that they're all in.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, and there was a boom in the shot.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw that.
A boom is the microphone
going,
dipping into the scene.
Anyway.
So Alex's apartment, Marissa shows up.
On the early side.
Yeah.
I guess, to the apartment.
And is it all like lesbian couples?
It was an odd scene. she goes, what's going on? She's like, oh, the party started earlier. They showed up. And the camera, the frames on three girl couples. And,
right.
And our, you know, lovely background that would be on the show, kind of, hi.
Yeah.
But it was like, to me, it was an odd.
Well, I felt like it was like a little bit of a big choice, but for a reason, because it kind of like freaks Marissa out to realize, oh, her friends, it's all these like, you know, couples coupled up.
Right. And that she has to present as a couple.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a mingling. It didn't feel like
right. Like mingle with
mingle
my friends.
Barbecue or
like,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she gets freaked out and fails.
Yeah. And so she runs off. And
Alex, yeah, is like, what is going on? You know?
And then I was like, she got a new car? Didn't she have a hardtop Mustang? And then all of a sudden she's got a convertible. I thought you had a convertible. Just little things.
I think I had a convertible like BMW or something.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Didn't I? Yes.
Or did she always have, anyway.
I don't know. I didn't know she could drive. I mean, after all the overdoses and, and whatnot.
Well, Misha didn't have a license.
Never, ever, I don't think. Well, I mean, maybe now, but
later.
During the show,
yeah, yeah.
She didn't.
No, I thought she was taking lessons at some point.
Was she?
Yeah, to get a license.
I don't think it happened though while we were shooting the show.
No, you don't need one in New York and London and
right.
such. So she runs, but Alex is really hurt. Like you can
yeah.
see Alex really being hurt. So
okay, so now we're at the diner and Seth is housing a burger.
Yeah. I love it. It is such a commitment to eat that much during.
Oh,
and it's like, so I was watching it. I was like, how many times did he take a bite, right? So if for each angle he has to commit. And I think he only did it twice.
I guarantee Brody going, listen, guys, you get this once, like each angle, like you better get it in one or something.
Right. Or he did the spit.
Or yeah, a bucket under the table
yeah,
and he spit
right.
it out. Oh, that was a big commitment. And he really went for it. And obviously you see he's feeling a lot better because he has learned that they did not have sex.
Have you ever done that? I've lost my appetite over like romantic issues. And then been like all of a sudden getting your appetite back. It's awesome.
Oh, I was going to tell a story about like shooting something and having to eat something so much.
Oh, the Dove bar.
The Magnum. Yeah,
oh, the Magnum,
the Magnum ice cream bars. I had to eat so much of it. Did I already tell this story?
We did when we talked with Liz Gillies about the...
And then I went on Fallon and I wouldn't eat it?
Yeah.
Okay, I've already told that story. I'm still embarrassed. Like I should have fucking just taken a bite of the ice cream bar.
But yeah. No, it's...
I see it's one of my... hang up some very still really
oh,
mad at
okay.
myself.
It's okay. It's in the past.
Okay.
Okay.
I've told all my stories.
No.
We're done here. Zach, so they didn't have sex but then Zach tells him it's because Zach doesn't believe in sex before marriage.
That was this thing that he had to tell you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think
what?
That Zach coming to him this way and he's like, no, I didn't, we didn't have sex. It's okay. No problem. We're
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And Seth is like, oh, no, we don't have to talk about this. Like,
yeah,
no,
you
no,
know,
no,
it's
no.
fine.
And he's like, I don't believe in sex before marriage. And then he goes, but I just, now it's because I realize it's just, I believe in sex with the right person, the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what better than Tuscany?
Yep.
And Adam's face, he's like, does this like thing with his like he's about to like throw up almost, like he can't eat anymore. And all I could think was, he's like, I just need to be upfront with you so you can freak out appropriately. And, and I'm like, this is, it's almost cruel that Zach is telling him all of this, like rubbing it in.
Well, like, but he always delivers it so innocently that you don't think. Genuinely. And yes, that you don't think that he has any ulterior motives. But then you wonder, because he was pissed at Seth after the comic book thing. And like, I wonder, like, is there anything to that?
Well, and once again, when you have dialogue in a script, you can deliver it very villainous or like a villain, or you do it like Zach, who is just straight up, I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah.
But it's almost, this is where he's sharing almost too much.
Yeah.
And who knows what's going on. But also, there's something very flawed in that plan, because planning the exact perfect moment, there's no such thing.
No.
You could
try. Do you remember your first time? Was it a perfect moment?
No. There wasn't, but I didn't hang on. Oh my God, that wasn't perfect. It was okay. Let's move on to the next.
It was more like that was so fast that it's not even worth remembering.
Yep.
You don't even remember what happened. It was so quick.
Yeah.
But my partner, who I lost my virginity to, wasn't a virgin, but it was still too quick.
Yeah. Same here.
there was
nothing to,
first times are never going to be this monumental, amazing, incredible. I mean, there's just no chance. I was also very young. Wait, speaking of young, they talk about the tutor, and
he goes,
Zach,
I thought you and the tutor, and he goes, oh, she was 30, I was 14. I went
14 and 30, like even a kiss, like what?
Yeah,
that's a doozy.
Well, and that's what's so interesting about, and Zach's just very matter of fact. He's like, she was 30. I was 14. And I'm starting to think this whole perfect Zach, he's definitely got flaws just like other people.
14 and 30. I mean, I can't even, Anyway.
So that was a great scene, by the way.
That was a great scene.
Very memorable. So now Ryan has called Lindsay to the proverbial pier where all the heavy stuff goes down.
And have you noticed that?
Ashes, all the intense stuff is at the pier, because you need this like romantic, epic scenery in the background, which it always is.
Yeah.
And basically asks her if she thinks this adoption is a good idea, because he doesn't know any better way.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically just says, point blank, what don't I know? Because he's implying something.
Right.
And he's omitting what he knows.
Right. Again, the hardest position that Ryan has been put in. It makes me mad.
Yeah.
I'm very defensive over my man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why you gotta do that to Ryan?
I don't know.
He's been through enough.
For some reason, yes, this he's the voice of reason in the kids group, I guess. But he's certainly, the parents put a lot on him.
They did.
She's pretty, I got to give it to her though. She, instead of getting mad and just saying, F off or something, she says, look, tonight's really important and I only want people there who support me. So I hope I see you there.
Right.
But she's not wavering from this.
Right.
The significance of this adoption.
She is
thing.
Not. And then we're at the party and no one knows what the party is for. And Lindsay notes that and is like, that's kind of weird. No one knows, which is awkward.
Right.
Then Rebecca's hotel room, Sandy enters with Chinese food for her and he finds a note, not Rebecca.
I've got some Chinese for you after all that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Seth is back to wallowing in his robe at the Cohen house.
Because at the diner, he said, I'm going to go watch VH1, which means
best week ever, I think, specifically, which does date the show because I don't think that exists anymore.
Right. And by his definition, VH1 is I'm going home to wallow. I'm not going home to agonize. Like he'd already made the decision because he's not going home to MTV.
Does it have a death date? It does. 2009.
Okay.
Best week ever was laid to rest. Okay.
So he now is wallowing in his robe and playing some games or something. So Ryan comes in and they start talking and he basically says, what was I thinking? That when they were having, when they were about to have sex, that she was going to say, "No, Zach, I can't. I'm still in love with Seth."
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, "Look, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just venting. Mm-hmm. We're over."
Mm-hmm.
Then Ryan does something totally surprising here.
Yes.
He says, "You know, shouldn't you be venting to Summer?" When he just told her not, he says, "Don't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't you get closure with Summer?"
Well, I guess getting closure with maybe he's, I don't know, actually. Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I guess I understand the concept, I guess, but he says, "No, closure's overrated. No, it's not." And then he turns around and goes, "Okay, I'll do it. But my blood is on your hands." And that was clearly improv.
Oh, yeah.
By, you know,
classic Brody improv.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this is one of my favorite scenes of the episode.
I actually liked this scene too.
It felt like it's Misha Marissa and Rachel talking.
Yes. It was very much so us.
Yes.
Yes. So, we always, you know, Misha and I always had so much fun in our scenes together. And it was, yeah, you can see it here.
Yeah.
It was very much mirrored our relationship off screen as well. And Marissa is not down at the party. So Summer comes in looking for her.
She's reading "Please Kill Me," which is that the uncensored history of punk.
And Misha actually really did like punk music.
Uh-huh.
She was very into it. Summer shares that Zach doesn't believe in sex before marriage. And she also shares that while she was with Zach, there was a voice in her head.
So Seth was right. When he just said, "What did I want her to do?"
What did he say?
So he said, "I was in my mind, like I..." He had this image of Summer when they were about to do it.
Yeah.
"Oh my gosh, Zach, I can't. I'm still in love with Seth."
Right.
So that's what he's thinking.
And basically,
it happened.
He Jedi mind tricked her and his voice was in her mind.
Yes. And so it happened. And this is where I went, "Oh, these two are meant to be together."
Right.
Right.
Yep.
There's hope. But the way this scene unfolds,
mm-hmm.
once again, is, you know, Summer's talking about Zach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember when I told you he was full of surprises? Well, surprise, he doesn't want to now. And then he tells her, now he wants to do it in Tuscany. The way you're delivered it, just it's like the way you would deliver. Just, this is what's going on. But now I've got Seth on the brain.
Right.
And Marissa says, "Tell him the truth."
Right.
And Summer says, "Wow, at least he deserves that."
Right.
"I should just trust him. He deserves me telling him the truth."
Right.
And you see very quickly Marissa.
Yeah, she takes that in.
Makes that decision to say.
Very clearly on camera, you see her process it. And I'm dating Alex.
Summer's like, "Huh? What?
What?
Yeah.
Alex?
What?
Yeah. Girl Alex?" Yeah, it's a really cute exchange. And I like how they played out. And I laughed when she hugs her at the end. And she's like, "Is this turning you on?"
And it's, you know, which is totally making fun of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's making light of it and then, you know, making her best friend feel comfortable. I really did like this scene.
It's a very, you can see Marissa's, like I said, vulnerability. And, you know, it's not just jumping into it. There's a process that human beings go through with new experiences.
Right. So the adoption party, Ryan and Renee arrive at the same time. Renee says she needs to tell Lindsay and Ryan says he'll go help her.
To stay out here, it'll be less public. I'll go inside and get Lindsay.
Right.
But
Ryan winds up telling Lindsay that she can't go through with it because...
he wants a DNA test.
Yeah. He doesn't know if that's her father.
And she instantly regresses to even like a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Because, and putting yourself in her shoes, it's humiliating
and
embarrassing.
And she plays this so well, Shannon.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
And runs off.
She runs off. Yeah. When she, we'll get to that in a second. So this next scene, Sandy questions Kirsten now that Rebecca is gone. And he pulls out the note because she writes a note
saying...
He's
like, "What did you..." She's gone. And she's like, "And what did you say to her?" And Kirsten's like, "What do you mean?"
Yeah.
He's like, and he reads it. "I don't want to get in the way of your family.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?" And Kirsten explains.
Right.
She's like, "I asked her if she loved you. And she
said yes.
Yes." And he goes, "I can't help the way she feels."
Right.
But
I still am so behind Kirsten this whole time. And like Sandy, the way he delivers it, you know, "I can't help how she feels." You do believe him as a husband, even though if he does feel in love with Rebecca, because I think he is.
Yeah.
You know, you believe him in that moment. But Kelly, this whole scene, I was so impressed with her acting. Even how they're fighting and how she's aware that they're at a party and like every choice
trying
made.
Trying to keep it down like this.
Yeah. But I really thought it was beautifully acted and she's really aware of all of her surroundings. And I noticed it a lot in that scene. But also, fuck Sandy.
Well, and when she says, you could have gotten her another lawyer. She had all the other things that we've been saying. You could have done all of these things but her IO, you know, it's like he's standing his ground that he needs to help her because Max died, because I'm the only one that can help her. He's filling that knight in shining armor role for her. And when she says, well, do you trust me? And he goes, right now, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. And she says, then we have way bigger problems, buddy.
Yep.
And walks off.
And that's right.
Every choice does have a consequence. That everything that we do in life has like these ripple effects.
Yep.
Anyway, so now Lindsay is, I don't know, short of hyperventilating, she's having a meltdown. She's already coming in instantly like, hey, hi, like now terrified of, and you know, maybe if it had been approached a different way, like, hey, Lindsay, this is going to happen or we're going to make this happen. This has nothing to do with you, but we're going to do, this is something that we just have to do legally. Mm-hmm. We have to get a test. But it wasn't presented to her like that. Mm-hmm. It was presented with, you can't do this.
Right.
He's going to ask for a DNA test.
Right.
So it's already been, you know, communicated to her that this is a bad thing.
Right.
And she should, so instantly she's, goes to that child thing of, what did I do wrong?
I know.
And the rejection.
I know.
Of a parent, like, that she's done something wrong and he doesn't like me. And so.
Poor thing.
But he becomes, and here's the thing that's kind of fascinating. He becomes pretty cold.
Yeah.
And businesslike and matter of fact. And that's why I said this.
True to himself. That's Caleb.
And I guess we should remember, because we haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. Since the hospital, the Mad Libs, hanging out, it's been maybe a couple of weeks, maybe long enough for them to have developed some feelings. Clearly hers are fantasy feelings. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I'd like to think that he's swallowing his emotions and putting on the businessman. This is the way it's happening and there's no discussion. This is what's happening.
Right.
And she does make a good point that my real dad wouldn't need a test, regardless of this. Mm-hmm. So
she's right. I understand where she's coming from, and the whole thing is just fucked up.
But then as she runs out, Julie's just
stands right there. Like, oh, honey, don't worry. I'll handle this.
I remember shooting this scene and standing there because sometimes Mindy would make a comment on the scene and just be like, God, this Julie bitch, man. And I was like, I'm going to step in and be this character. But there was a part of me inside that was just cringing.
I know. Because I was felt bad.
Because I'm hearing this and she's coming out and crying. Just felt so bad for her.
I know. But then, and action.
and I got to tell you. So Julie's in this.
The flower
purple
and the
dress
hair.
In the house. So there was something about this, you know, when you're doing this costume or picking these clothes out or coming up with hair and makeup and doing all this stuff, we just get kind of, it's not that you're bored, but it's like, let's do this or let's just make a choice or do something I would never do in real life.
Right.
But because we were, you know, she says that she'll cover for him. And then Ryan tries to chase Lindsay down. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, Julie's up on this balcony. It's late at night. Michael Lang is directing. And I decided that he said, you're going to deliver your line from up here. And I said, I'm Ava Perone.
Yeah.
And if you watch the scene, I very subtly did this about five times.
Your hand gestures. She's doing Ava Perone.
Yeah. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Yeah. Hand gestures.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I said, well, me and Newport Living, and it's going to be this, and thank you. And Michael was like, don't be too obvious. And
oh, he did.
I feel like we had a discussion about it. He was like, "Is that the right choice?" I'm like, "I don't care. I'm going for it." Because my people, like, she literally was taking on that.
That is amazing. Yes, it played well.
Anyway.
Okay, so Marissa shows up to Alex's. Alex is upset, and Marissa admits that she got freaked out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a very honest, sweet scene. But then she tells her that she wound up telling Summer, which I think is a very big gesture to Alex.
And Alex actually said, she said, "I got freaked out." And she said, "And so now you're here to break up with me?" Like, oh, the vulnerability of Alex that we hadn't seen. We have not seen this whole time. It was really sweet.
Yeah. And it really made me realize that, gosh, dating a woman is probably so much easier.
Right?
You know? Just like understanding and like...
Or believes what she's saying.
Yeah.
And just being understanding that, yeah, I get that it's a difficult thing or it's something you're just not used to. And I mean, I'm sure it's still difficult today. It feels so normal today.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's something that's so new could make her feel... Because at one point I thought it was a little out of character for Marissa to be so antisocial, but it wasn't so much that. It was just that... It was that she can't say it. She couldn't invite you to a party. And then she just, all these things got into her head. And then finally she was like, I'm a confident woman when I want to be. Mm-hmm. And people will accept me.
Yep.
Or not.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. Yep. It doesn't matter what people think about us. It doesn't matter what people, if people judge us.
Right.
It just doesn't matter. So good for her.
Good for her. Now Seth comes to Summer's bedroom.
She's watching The Valley, I assume.
Yes.
And there's a funny quote.
Yeah.
"Relationships are like geese. They fly north for the winter." And then, of course, I'm watching on the dialogue.
Yeah.
In the subtitle.
Yeah.
And because I went, huh? So I had to go back and look.
Yeah.
And it says, the guy says, "I'm speaking metaphorically. They're just not natural." Relationships are not natural. So I was like, oh, okay. Get it.
Okay. Well, odd. But Seth comes to tell her that he's done. He's over it. And have fun in Italy.
Has anybody... He literally says, "I'm over you."
Yeah. That hurt.
And I. So even if you're an ex, if somebody says, just
you
so you know...
You don't ever want anyone over you. That hurts.
Even if somebody said it,
it's
I'm
ego,
over you.
But still.
But what's interesting is they don't know how much the two of them are still vibing on each other.
I know.
Or still in each other's
heads. Well, no. Because he hasn't told her and she hasn't told him.
And this is again where I wrote, just when she's feeling him again.
Yeah.
And then it's taken all season for her to start thawing out.
Yeah.
Because she's been so angry.
So angry.
At him.
Yeah. What is this? Episode 13?
13.
13 in and she, yeah. Yeah. And rightfully so. I still stand by her choice.
"Your ex-lover is dead" by Stars Plays.
Sad.
Anyway.
I know. Sad about Seth and Summer here.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
You think something's going to happen?
I think they're setting us up for...
something?
Yep.
Okay. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
All right. And this episode ends at the Coen house with Seth and Ryan.
Talking about the premise of Hellboy.
Hellboy with Sandy, who comes in with more Chinese food. You think it's the same Chinese food?
I think it's the same Chinese food. It's the same. He goes, "Here, got the Chinese." I'm like, the old... Chinese
Yum.
Food.
Yum. Delicious.
The cold Chinese food for your ex.
What?
It was for Rebecca.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
And that is the episode.
The Father Knows Best.
AKA the test. Now, what do we have? Do we have voicemails?
Let's have some voicemails.
Hi, Rachel and Melinda. My question is, was there a particular look, a hairstyle or an outfit that you loved the most for Summer or Julie throughout the series? Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you for your question. You know, the first thing that came to my mind was one of the, I guess it was a prom or something. I had a vintage Givenchy dress.
Mm-hmm. It was pink and white.
It was like, magenta or something, like very pronounced pink and white. And the whole look, the hair, I remember just thinking it was so cool, that dress.
It's coming up. Yeah, we're coming. It's coming up.
Cool.
And I think Michael Cassidy will be here for that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Love that.
Julie had so many outfits that were just like out of this world. There were so many things that coming up next episode, the Rainy Day Women, there was a particularly fun outfit that with this like with these furry boots.
Yeah.
When she's smoking cigars with Kirsten.
Oh, nice.
But I always liked, and then there was another scene coming up, I think in the fourth season, where she's got these boots that have butterflies on them. I was always trying to showcase the shoes.
Yeah.
Hey guys, can you get a shot of the shoes? But she does. I in this episode, I loved that tiger outfit.
Yeah.
And also that kind of multicolored outfit when they were arguing in the
office
was kind of cool. I remember it was a skirt and boots. You don't always get to see the whole thing.
Right. I'm always trying to get out of my shoes when I shoot.
Yeah.
They made me platform Uggs just so I could be comfortable but still have height.
There's so many things. I mean, the costume definitely lent to the performance for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Debbie in San Diego. Thanks so much for the podcast. It literally makes my day. Aww. Getting in the car and listening to you guys discuss the episodes I've just watched the night before. Mm-hmm. Anyways, my question is for Rachel. I was really wondering if it was your idea to address Cohen as Cohen and Cooper as Cooper or Coop, or was it Stephanie or Josh's idea? Because I feel like you call Brody Brody in real life, so I was wondering if that was your idea. And also, I wanted to know if there was ever a time where you and Brody had like a knockdown, drag-out fight just before filming. And if that happened, how uncomfortable was that? I can imagine very uncomfortable. Thanks for everything you guys do. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Well, thank you for listening to the podcast, first of all, and for your questions. You know, I think it's a very Schwartz thing because he always calls me Bilson. So I really think it's a Josh-ism to refer to people by their last name because he always does it with me. And it stuck, obviously. And I've taken that on myself because I do refer to Brody as Brody.
But that's his awareness, I think, that people always have nicknames for people.
Yeah.
So it's to make it
So that's a Josh-ism,
authentic. Yeah.
For sure. I think I did come up with like Cooper Scooper, things like that. And I would riff on Coop and whatnot. But Adam and I fighting, I feel like there was a time where I got mad and like wasn't talking to him, but it wasn't a blowout fight. He just like ignored me back. And so we just both were ignoring each other off camera and then only talking to each other on camera. I think that was like probably the biggest memory.
It's inevitable that real life can kind of blur.
Sure. And then, you know, we had broken up before the show ended. So our last scenes together, we were already broken up. So that was, you would think it'd be super awkward, but there was such like a love there and, you know, between us that we kind of carried through and it was okay. But yeah, you know, it can always have those awkward moments when you're actually dating your love interest.
You have to be professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it professional.
Keep it professional.
Hi guys. My name is Sarah and I'm from Sweden. First of all, I have to thank you so much for doing this podcast. It's really amazing. So my question to you is, do you guys have any particular scene or episode that made you feel sad or emotional while filming?
Oh, gosh.
How many?
The three episodes, number 1, 2, 3 of season 4 were particularly difficult for me. Yeah.
Because, after Marissa's death.
Yes. Like, personally. And then I remember actually after the show had wrapped, I remember I was on a rafting trip and somebody was asking me after the show had been done and we'd been drinking and having a good time and they were asking me about it and I started sobbing. I started going, it was just so sad. I remember it was like, I actually see, I get
You're
really
crying thinking about it.
It gets really, because you know, you really have to commit to some of these feelings and and you have to have your emotions so raw to have them, to, you know, to be realistic and real. And I had such affection for Misha. And when you're playing that was challenging.
Yeah. I think for me, it was when I have my the therapist, the four stages of grief, you know, stands out for me because you playing it, obviously it had some comedic beats, but the emotional beats as well. I remember really feeling it. And Misha's absence was very much felt right. on set because she was such a presence. And, you know, so I would say that episode for me, the four stages of grief.
And emotions, even as, I mean, as an actor, they're real. The body doesn't know the difference. So when you've had to, especially if you've had a highly emotional crying scene, when Julie, I think I've said this before, when Julie was crying because she messed up the decorations mm-hmm. For the model home, that you feel that as you, for the rest of the day, you have a crying headache, you're stuffy, it definitely stays with you. And you have to kind of take care of yourself and tell yourself it's okay. But thank you for your question. That was our show today, guys. Thanks for constantly tuning in. Sometimes I stutter. I don't know why.
Thank you for listening. Follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC Bitches, wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you like to watch us, check it out on YouTube.
Bye, bitches.
See you next time.
Close your eyes. It's time to discover what starting and growing your own business feels like. Whether your business is bedsheets or skincare, Shopify's with you every step of the way. Now, open your eyes. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/podcast22. shopify.com/podcast22.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I am a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh and
I'm
Rabia Chaudhry. But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you'll like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of. Obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lam, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No. We're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is supported by Morgan Stanley.
What do you get from the Morgan Stanley client experience? Listening more than talking and a personalized plan to guide you through a changing world.
To learn more, visit morganstanley.com/YUS. Investing involves risk. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC.